Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. That's Rhino down there in Studio X. Rhino, make sure you push the buttons that say Thunder and Lightning, not the buttons that say Moon. Don't push those buttons. I don't know what all buttons they've got in that studio, but pushing the wrong one, we could have a national emergency. Glad you've joined us here on a Wednesday evening. If you really want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We're presented by Dossett Big Four, 47 years. When you're open for that long, you're not just a business, you're a neighbor. You're a part of the community. That's what Dossett Big Four is, a family-run, three-generation-strong car dealership in Tupelo. And guys, right now, if you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, or if you need to get your current car serviced, you want to talk about an award-winning service department, you need to see my friends at Dossett Big Four, 628 South Gloucester in Tupelo, or you can just go to the website, DossettBig4.com. You can see their full inventory right there, from their family to yours, for 47 years. Mississippi State baseball, in case you didn't know, it feels like, if you're an Ole Miss fan, it probably feels like 47 years since you were able to have control in this state, in the on the diamond anyway. Mississippi State, a sweep of the Ole Miss Rebels, got to be there in Swayze Field. Want to give a big shout-out, though. I take my shots at Ole Miss here and there, but the people up there, the sports information directors and all that, good people, took great care of us this weekend. I have been to 33 straight Egg Bowls, and I don't remember one that was as cold as the baseball game I went to Friday night. Now, maybe it's because, you know, you go to an Egg Bowl and you know it's going to be cold, so you're wearing thick layers, right? And it's not as bad. I just had a pullover, and man, was it cold. And then it wasn't that much warmer on Saturday. Sunday at least felt like spring baseball. But three really good wins for Mississippi State. Three very different games. On Friday, you know, you have to come from behind twice. You gave away a lead. You got it back. You win the game. Saturday was the most dominating win, in my opinion. Valinkas really – and I thought Valinkas didn't have his best stuff. Didn't look as good against Ole Miss as he did against Vanderbilt, but did enough. You got plenty out of the bullpen. You get six runs on the board. You make it look kind of easy. Sunday, the score doesn't indicate how stressful that game was because Ole Miss loaded the bases. I still can't get over this this stat. Ole Miss loaded the bases four times and didn't get a run once. How is that possible? I don't know the answer to that, but State ends up getting a sweep. They're on a 9-game winning streak dating back to, you know, they lost game 3 at Arkansas. They haven't lost since. Beat Jackson State, swept Vanderbilt, beat Southern Mississippi, sweep Ole Miss. Last night you beat Grambling. And, you know, last week, I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot more if you're Brian O'Connor, right? You played your two biggest rivals in state. You run-ruled Southern Mississippi, and you really dominated. I understand that, you know, the Friday game was very close. And I had a feeling, when I made my prediction, I thought that State would lose the Friday game but win the other two. I just thought that Charlie Foster against Hunter Elliott, it was advantage Ole Miss. And it kind of was until it wasn't. And I give Foster a lot of credit. That's a guy who has struggled out of the gate this year, but he pitched a really good game on Friday. Gave up one run on a Judd Unimark home run. But he pitched, he matched Hunter Elliott the whole way through. And Elliott, give him a lot of credit. First two trips to the order, State couldn't do anything with him. Third trip to the order, State got to him. And there really is this air of inevitability with State's offense right now. They're going to show up at some point. I will be really surprised, you know, if State loses a 2-1 game this year. It just doesn't feel like that's going to happen. You know, they'll lose games, but they won't lose games like that. And so for me, State's playing really good baseball right now. I don't think that they've peaked, right? I don't think they're playing their best baseball. There's still, you know, sometimes where they'll go a stretch of a, you know, 2-3 innings without putting anything on the board, or you know, they still have a few question marks in the bullpen. But say this about Mississippi State from an ERA standpoint, you know, I don't. Pitching was where my questions were about Mississippi State coming into the season, especially in the bullpen. And to go up there last week without Brian McPherson, who, if you noticed last night, wasn't wearing that arm brace any longer, so maybe you can get some good news. I don't think it'll be this weekend, and State has already announced the rotation. It's going to be the same: Foster tomorrow, Valinkas on Friday, and Duke Stone on Sunday. But Mississippi State right now, currently third in the SEC in ERA. Teams are batting .205 against them. That's best in the SEC. They've only walked 94 batters through 29 games. That's good enough for fifth in the SEC. And in strikeouts, they're fourth in the SEC. The pitching has been really, really good. So you combine that. So you're basically the from an ERA standpoint, what did I say? They were third. You're the third best pitching team. You're the best hitting team. And then from a defensive standpoint, you are the fourth best team. That is a formula that plays all day long. But I'm telling you that I got a team that can hit, pitch, and field. Well, it's going to be difficult to lose baseball games. And that's why State's 25-4 right this second, is they're good in all three phases of the game. Really tough game coming up. We're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes with the Georgia Bulldogs. But so far, so good for Brian O'Connor. Now, that's what I'm saying. Obviously, O'Connor, not as pleased. And if you heard his comments earlier, we played them on Sports Talk Mississippi. You can find them online. He was disappointed in his team's effort. And I may be understating it. Disappointed might be the right word. Might not be the right word. I might want to use a stronger word, but this is a family program. But he didn't like what he saw last night. And, you know, you go back to the conversation I had with him on Monday, and he talked about mentality and showing up every day. And, you look around the SEC, and everybody has these weird, bad midweek losses. Arkansas lost last night. Ole Miss lost last week. Vanderbilt has a bunch of these losses. LSU has a bunch of these losses. Florida lost last night. Just all over the conference, teams are losing these midweek games, except for Mississippi State. They're the only State's four losses are to the number one team in the nation, UCLA. That was on a Sunday. They have a midweek loss, but it's to Southern Mississippi, who's a top 10 team, and that game was on the road. And they lost the two games at Arkansas. State's the only team in the conference that doesn't have one of these really odd quad three, quad four RPI killer losses. And I attribute it to this mentality, and I think O'Connor did, but he was not pleased with what he saw last night. And that is a really good thing for Mississippi State. There's been too much complacency in recent years with Mississippi State baseball. Too much just happy to be here sometimes with Mississippi State baseball. Mississippi State baseball is a program that is built to compete for championships. You don't build the stadium like Mississippi State has. You don't put the money and the resources and the fan support into this sport to be content with not hosting a regional, with going on the road. I don't want to hear about, since this, blah, blah, blah. For me, everything pre the opening of the new Duty Noble Field is irrelevant. That stadium was built for one reason, to host postseason baseball. If you weren't going to put in that kind of commitment, then you didn't need to build a new stadium. They did. They spent almost $70 million for one reason, that the last weekend of May, the first weekend in June, Mississippi State fans are there to cheer for their team. So I'm glad somebody else is unhappy when the team isn't playing up to what the perceived standard. Brian O'Connor, I couldn't believe the number of people last week on the text line, on social media, on message boards. Oh, well, they're pitching Charlie Connor on Friday. They've conceded that game. I am here to tell you, if I've learned anything about Brian O'Connor in the short time I've gotten to know him, that conceding anything is not in that man's vocabulary. He is always going to try to win. The idea that he would just throw his hands up in the air and say, well, they've got Hunter Elliott, and we don't have our guy, so I guess we're just going to lose this one, is foolishness at best. It would be very wise for everyone, Mississippi State fans, to just look at things from that perspective, that man is going to try to win every game that his team plays. And thus far, in 29 attempts, he's done it 25 times. And he's got a massive, massive series this weekend. Top five series against a team that, man, can they mash the baseball. Should be some really exciting games coming to Duty Noble Field this weekend. Let's talk more about that when we come back. Let's sort of bring our focus to this Georgia series and what the other Bulldogs have been able to do on the diamond thus far. We'll do it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. We are presented by, by Dossett Big Four.
Hey, this is Bob, and if you're like
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
I've been stuffed in your pocket for the last 100 days. When I don't get my bath, I take it out on the slaves. So grease up your face.
I'm glad you're sure. Good stuff. We'll cut it off before we get too far into it because people are going to wonder. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Adad. Big series for Mississippi State this weekend. The Georgia Bulldogs coming in. D1 Baseball has these teams currently ranked 4th and 5th. They're tied with Texas atop the SEC. Those three teams are 7-2, Texas, Mississippi State, and Georgia. Georgia and Texas don't play each other. So this is a really big opportunity for the Georgia Bulldogs, but obviously for Mississippi State as well. Georgia does one thing better than anybody else. I don't know if in college baseball, I haven't looked at that, but in the SEC, nobody puts the ball out of the ballpark better than the Georgia Bulldogs. 87 home runs through 30 games. So they basically average 3 home runs a game. The next closest team is Vanderbilt. They're at 63 home runs. So a big gap between Georgia and Vandy. Mississippi State currently 5th in home runs. State is the number one hitting team in the conference, hitting .336 as a team. Georgia is tied. They must be percentage points behind Texas A&M. They're third, but both those teams are hitting .326. Georgia as a team is slugging .649. That is outrageous. State slugging .564. State's OBP is .443, .456 for the Georgia Bulldogs. This means one thing, to me anyway, and this is what surprises me about Georgia is, you know, Wes Johnson is a pitching coach that we all, you know, obviously Mississippi State fans are familiar with him, but this is a guy that has been a pitching coach at top schools, Mississippi State, Arkansas, LSU. He was a Major League Baseball pitching coach. Georgia's not a great pitching team this year. They're 10th in the SEC in ERA. Teams are batting .233 against them. Mississippi State, in case you're wondering, third in the SEC in ERA and first in batting average against. Teams are only hitting .205 against Mississippi State. The pitching is where I think State has the advantage. You know, Foster, we'll have to see if he can duplicate it, but I'll be honest with you with Charlie Foster. And also, don't forget, Charlie Foster is a former Georgia commit, so maybe there, I don't know if there's any bad blood there or not, but we'll talk about that. But Foster's stuff has never been his problem, right? This is a guy who he can pitch. O'Connor talked about it a little bit on Friday night after the game, that Foster was battling some stuff during the offseason, and he feels like he pushed him back too hard. Maybe he shouldn't have been starting those first couple of weeks, but they wanted to get him out there because they know how effective he can be. So if this is healthy Charlie Foster, if what I saw Friday night in Oxford is what I'm going to get Thursday night in Starkville, Okay. That's great. That's great news for Mississippi State. You're talking about having a competent fourth starter at that point with Valinkis and Duke Stone, and then when McPherson gets back. That's great news for postseason baseball. Valinkis has maybe been the best pitcher in the country since SEC play has started. He's just been unstoppable. SEC pitcher of the week the first week, could have been the second week. This past week, in a situation where he didn't even have his best stuff, he completely dominated that Ole Miss lineup. Really, really good player. Duke Stone was very inconsistent on Sunday. 7 walks, but 8 strikeouts. Just was able to get out of trouble as he got into it, but he's pitched better than that before. And again, on a Sunday, it really is just about, can I get a couple times through the order? Can I get 4 to 5 innings out of you? He got 6 this past weekend despite the walks. State's pitching is just better than Georgia's pitching. And so that's why I think State has the advantage. I think State's going to win this series. And, you know, I would not predict a sweep against a top 5 team. That's just, I wouldn't do that. But I definitely think State's going to win this series. Could they lose it? Absolutely they could. Georgia's a good baseball team. And somebody makes a good point. When you look at the RPI, you know, Mississippi State currently 6th. I believe Georgia is 39 in the RPI right now. Let me double check that. Yes, they are. Of their 24 wins, 17 of them are against quad 4 teams. For comparison, Mississippi State, 16 of their 25 wins are against quad 4 teams. But they also, Georgia also has 2 losses to quad 4 teams. State obviously has none. Georgia, I mean, they took 2 out of 3 from Tennessee. They took 2 out of 3 from Texas A&M. Okay. And then last week they swept South Carolina. They're a good baseball team. I don't want to underplay them too much. I do feel like some Mississippi State fans are looking at this going, okay, they haven't beaten anybody. People were saying that about Mississippi State just a few weeks ago. So don't let that be your mindset. This is a really good Georgia baseball team. But I think State can get this series. I don't have a whole lot of doubt about that. D1 Baseball today put out their, I don't know if it's their first one or not, but this is their Field of 64, the midseason edition. And guys, I can't tell you how good it feels after the last 5 years and doing what we've been doing here and going through what we were going through with this baseball program to be able to say the following words to you. Here's the projected Starkville Regional. So D1 has Mississippi State as the number 4 overall seed, which falls right in line with their ranking. State currently 4th. Hosting Notre Dame, familiar foe from the, the 2000 or 1990? I think it was 2000 regional in Starkville, and then, of course, the 2021 Super Regional. State would go on to win the national title. Kansas State coming to Diddy Noble Field, and Rider is the 4 seed. Paired up with the Gainesville, Florida Regional, Boston College, who's playing really good baseball in the ACC, High Point, and Yale. So a possible Mississippi State-Florida matchup in the Super Regionals. Of course, you know, State lost the Gainesville Super Regional in 2011, lost that in 3 games. Just looking around the rest of the conference, Texas is the 2 seed. Just in terms of the host, Georgia is currently listed as the 11 seed. Alabama is the 12 seed. I mentioned Florida there, the 13 seed. And then the ones that aren't hosting, Kentucky is the 2 seed and Chapel Hill. LSU, the 2 seed in Charlottesville. Virginia they hired Chris Pollard, who's a guy who I had on hot boards prior to the hiring of Brian O'Connor. He's been really good for the Cavaliers. He's kept them going. With LSU going there, Tennessee is a 3 seed in Morgantown, West Virginia. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Are they invented the sport. How can they be down there? Ole Miss, imagine this, guys. Ole Miss, the number 2 seed in Hattiesburg. Who came up with that? I can't believe that such a thing would ever occur. Arkansas, not hosting now. They're the 2 seed in this predicted regional. In Corvallis, they're the 9 seed. Could possibly, if you get the 2 seeds win, you could have a Ole Miss hosting Arkansas Super Regional. That would be interesting. Oklahoma is the 2 seed in the Los Angeles Regional. That's the Southern Cal Regional, not the UCLA. UCLA, as you might guess, is the projected 1 seed. Texas A&M is the 2 seed out in Tallahassee. Florida State's the 14 seed, and then Auburn, the 2 seed in Coastal Carolina and Conway. Coastal is the 15 seed matched up with Texas. It really did my heart some good to see the Starkville Regional. It's been too long. It's been too long since that was a thing. Don't know enough about Notre Dame, Kansas State, or Rider to really get too deep into it, but that looks, I mean, just on paper, Florida has been so inconsistent this year. You know, they get swept by Alabama. They come back and sweep Arkansas on the road. Then they lose last night to Jacksonville. They lost 2 out of 3 at home earlier this year. I think they got swept. Did they get swept by High Point? Somebody help me out. I don't remember. But they've just been inconsistent this year. So you would really like State's chances in a super regional against the Florida Gators. High Point. No, they came back and won game 3. So they lost 2 out of 3 to High Point. So they started out, they're 6-3 in conference play. Swept South Carolina. Get swept by Alabama. Sweep Arkansas. They have Ole Miss at home this weekend. So, Rebel fans, the numbers indicate you're going to be in for a good weekend. We'll see if that pans out. I don't know. Southern Miss will not host a regional. They lost to Southeastern. I mean, that you can't. It's not just about one game. If they're the number, 16? What are they in the RPI right now? They're 16th. If they continue to win games, they're going to have to pick up a sweep here or there for sure, but they'll be absolutely in the mix to host. Got to remember, you know, they have, I feel bad for them, they have 6 quad 1 wins now. They lost 3 of those when Louisiana Tech, who just continues to lose games. But they're going to be in the mix. You should not just say one loss is going to keep you from hosting. Because, as we talked about earlier, every one of these teams, except for Mississippi State, except for UCLA. Oh, I'll take it back. UCLA has a couple of bad losses. Almost everybody has these bad losses. So don't let one game throw you off way too much. So let's switch to football when we come back. First week of spring practice in the books. Let's get some early thoughts. Something I'm looking for, something I want to hear about. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. We are presented by Dossett Big Four.
Nowadays, Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi, back with you here on a Wednesday. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. It's just me now. If you were one of those people who were like, I hate Robbie Faulk. Oh, I can't stand him. Well, he's gone. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's just me right now. The search continues for a new co-host. We will see if I can find one. If not, I may just go it alone. I've actually enjoyed doing that this week. We've had some great interviews. There's some more tomorrow. We got a great two Georgia interviews tomorrow. One for baseball and one for our spring football series. So check it out tomorrow on the podcast, Thunder and Lightning Live. Subscribe wherever you guys get podcasts from. On today's, somebody real quick from the Ceasefire text line. Hey, Dad, I love the show. No, you probably mentioned, but McPherson will be back tomorrow. I doubt it. Very seriously. They've already announced the rotation. Foster is starting tomorrow. I would imagine they give McPherson at least one more week. I know the brace was off when they showed him last night in the stadium, but I don't think he'll pitch tomorrow. If he does, I would be very surprised. On today's Thunder and Lightning podcast, if you were listening, I talked about football, and really my first deep dive into it now that the spring has begun. And something Jeff Lebby said, you know, I don't know if resonated is the right word, but he talked about the defense, you know, giving their offense a little trouble. And all I could think about was how much of a red flag that would have been a season ago. You know, if Lebby had come out first couple practices and been like, yeah, the defense is really stifling us, I'd have been like, this team's going to go 0-12. So I had zero faith in that defense under Coleman Hutzler. Now you have Zach Arnett. That's a guy I have a lot of faith in. I've seen it. The proof of concept, as they like to say, exists with Zach Arnett. So the fact that his defense is giving State's offense trouble is a very positive sign, in my opinion. I would imagine, knowing Arnett and knowing the way he likes to scheme, that he's probably throwing a lot at Kamario Taylor right now, more than the young sophomore has seen in the past. So that's good news. And we talked a little bit about this earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi. Yeah, I feel like State's completely remade the secondary. They have a good group of linebackers. If a couple of these defensive linemen can hit, if a guy like Amari Williams, Gus Cordova, if Will Whitson can be healthy for the whole season, can become a pass rush threat. And I don't have to have Montez Sweat out there. I don't need 10, 12 sacks, right? I need somebody that I can trust to get 6 to 7 sacks this year. I did it, didn't I? I did it. My bad. But you see what I'm getting at, right? I just need a sack every other game from one player. And then the rest of the sacks will come from whoever. Then this defense can take a massive step forward. And if this team had just been, okay defensively a year ago, and the offensive line had just been okay a season ago, we're talking about an 8-win team, and everybody who doubts Jeff Levy would be completely on board with him, myself included. The offensive line was one of the worst in the conference, and the defense was one of the worst in the conference. And so you have five wins, and you probably should have had more. And because we watched the games, and I've said this a lot, but I'll continue to repeat it. Because we watched the games and we saw how the games went, I can't just say, yeah, well, they were better last year, right? They went from 2 wins to 5 wins. That's a great improvement. Maybe next year they can do it again and get from 5 to 8. I saw the games. I saw the mistakes that were being made. I saw the issues that came from the head coach. So that's why I'm concerned. But what I will say is that defensively, I think they're going to be much, much better this year because they have a real live defensive coordinator who's done this before, who's done more with less at Mississippi State in the past. There's no reason not to believe that Mississippi State will take, look, I just want to, this is what I want Mississippi State fans to understand more than anything else, is that you don't have to take massive steps forward to take a big step forward in your record. I don't need the defense to be the 5th best defense in the conference and the offense to be the 4th best offense in the conference for this team to find a way to win 8 or 9 games. All right? I just need them to be not 15th, not 16th. Can I have an offensive line that grades somewhere between below average and average? Because if I can have that, between below average and average, because last year was way below average. It was mediocre. It was awful. It was, dare I say, putrid. As long as I can get to below average, between that and average, that's fine. That offense will be good because you've got a quarterback who gives you so much from the running game that teams are going to have trouble scheming against him. You got some good playmakers at wide receiver. You got a good playmaker at running back. The offensive line just has to be below average. Do you realize how low a bar I'm setting here? I'm not telling you they've got to be, the best offensive line in Mississippi State history. I'm not saying they got to be good. I'm not saying they have to be average. I'm just saying if they can get to below average, you can take a big step forward. Don't think that's that much to ask. Defensively, it's kind of the same thing. Below average would be a huge step forward. I think this defense will be closer to average. I think they'll be in the middle of the pack in the conference. They should be really good in the secondary. The linebackers should be good. I know that Arnett will be able to scheme some pass rush in. It's just going to be about, does he have the players that when he wants to play a little more base, they can still get to the quarterback. But I fully expect this defense to take a step forward. If I can get a below-average offensive line and an average defense, you can legitimately look at Mississippi State and say they've got the pieces to take a step to 8, possibly 9 wins. The schedule's very tough. Don't get me wrong. It's very, very tough. But there is a world that exists where those two things happen and you win your 3 non-conference games and you beat South Carolina and Missouri and Auburn and Vanderbilt and you find a way to win one more, be it the Egg Bowl, be it Oklahoma at home, maybe you find a way, maybe LSU and Leavitt aren't as good as advertised. I don't know, but that world does exist if I can get those two things. And it really bothers me, now that I think about it, that I'm setting the bar this low. Hey, offensive line, can you be below average? And I'm not sure they're going to get to it. That's a problem. That's the issue I have more than anything else, is that I'm willing to set a low bar, and I'm not 100% sure they can get to it. I liked some of the interior pieces they got. I think they got some players that, if they remain at Mississippi State, can be good players, and you know, and LJ Prudhomme and Tyler Miller, Mario Nash. I think you've got some things going there. They just need Miles McVay to be good. If Miles McVay is good, he's like the linchpin to the rest of this, right? I trust the interior. Cannon Boone is back. He'll be fine. Right tackle, they'll figure something out at right tackle. Between Blake Steen and Jakeem Shumpert Perkins and Saquon Miles, they'll figure something out at right tackle. I really do believe that. It's all about that left tackle position. They went to try to get the big dog. It didn't work out, and then they went to the next guy, and they got screwed by the NCAA, basically. Maybe if the guy had tonsillitis, he could have got another year. I don't know. But they just have to be below average. Am I being unfair? Is me saying that's my bar? To be below average. Am I the bad guy here? No. I'm not. I'm completely within my rights on this one. A lot of people like to call me negative. That's fine. This is not a situation like that. I'm telling you that I don't need, from left to right, I don't need Charles Cross and Randy Thomas and Elton Jenkins and I'm trying to think my way, who's Gabe Jackson and Porkchop Womack. I don't need that. Just need below average. If I can get to average, now we're cooking. An average offensive line with Kamario Taylor, Fluff Bothwell, Anthony Evans, Marquise Johnson, those pieces will be a really good offense. I'm hopeful that that can be the case. So they scrimmage Friday. We're supposed to talk to Levy after that. So that's be, I think it's around 11 or so. But there's no show on Friday, so you'll have to wait till Monday for me to tell you what I heard there, I guess. Or maybe Tuesday. And then don't forget, next Saturday, the 11th, 9:30 a.m., it's an early start. But if you want to come out to Davis-Wade Stadium, they're going to have a scrimmage, full scrimmage. They're going to have some fan stuff, you know, meet the team, get some autographs, get some pictures. A lot of good stuff there for you tomorrow. So you're not negative. You're very optimistic. One would say, if you're thinking possibly 9 wins, 9 is pushing it now. Let's just say 9. But I also, the other side of this is, I believe there's a really, really high ceiling on Kamario Taylor. And when you have an elite quarterback, you can have elite results. You got to have a great quarterback to do that. You either have a great quarterback or everybody else has to be elite. It's a lot easier to have one guy be elite than 21 guys be elite. So we shall see. I don't know. I think they can do it, but I guess we'll find out. Friday, talk to Jeff Lebby, and we'll have some idea of what he thought of his team after their second scrimmage of the spring. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. We're presented by Dasa Big Four. 47 years, nobody stays in business that long when they're not taking care of their customers. Visit DasaBig4.com or go to 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. See our friends at Dasa Big Four. Back in just a minute.
Hey, this is Bob. Just walked in.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you've got it.
Let's wrap it up here on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is Currently, he did not push the wrong buttons. We are going to finish this show without having blown up the moon. I mean, we did really well, and I think we deserve credit for that. I want to remind you guys one more time, Dotson Big Four in Tupelo, 47 years. They're more than just a business. They are a neighbor. They are a bedrock of the community, and they want your business. So whether you're browsing their massive inventory or you're visiting their award-winning service department, you're getting decades of expertise that you can trust. Buy local. If you're in North Mississippi, 628 South Gloucester in Tupelo, or go to DotsonBig4.com. 47 years. That's a long time. That's a long time, guys. They know how to treat their customers there. Question here from the C Spire text line. I had a friend of mine that said Mississippi State would be an underdog in 10 of their 12 games. Is he right? Off the top of my head, yeah. They wouldn't be an underdog to ULM or Tennessee Tech, right? They'll be an underdog at Minnesota in all likelihood. Maybe a small underdog, but an underdog all the same. Underdog at South Carolina feels right. We're going to get to the point where it's like, what are they at this point in the season? If you're just telling me, you want me to give you the, what's what I'm looking for, what I think they would be favored, not favored right now. At home against Missouri, they're probably a small underdog. Probably a small underdog there. At home to Alabama, they're an underdog there. At LSU, yes. Oklahoma at home, yes, underdog. Texas on the road, oh yeah, certainly. Vandy at home. Okay, so as we sit here today, maybe not. Because Vandy, we don't know, right? Last year, I thought they would regress to the mean. They didn't. This year, without Pavia, I want to see what they look like. I know they got a big-time high school quarterback, but he's a freshman, so I don't know. Auburn at home is a very interesting one. I would say probably right now, I would make State the favorite in that game. I think I would. But you could go the other way. It could very easily be like Auburn -1, -2, something like that. Tennessee Tech, we mentioned. At Ole Miss, they're going to be an underdog there. So at best, they're probably an underdog in 8 of the 12, but you can certainly make a case that they would be underdogs in everything except for ULM and Tennessee Tech. But that said, I mean, at Minnesota is not an unwinnable game by any stretch of the imagination. At South Carolina, not unwinnable. Missouri at home, not unwinnable. Very tough against Alabama, very tough at LSU. This is going to sound funny because I know Oklahoma was in the college football playoff last year, but I was never impressed with that team, ever. Like, they won a lot of games. God bless them. But they're not unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. At Texas, incredibly tough. Vandy and Auburn at home, those are games you can win. If I get what I was just saying, do I have an average offensive line and an average defense? I'm good to go. Tennessee Tech, you'll win. At Ole Miss, Ole Miss is going to be very good this year. The Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl, though. I mean, 2 years ago, State went up there, and that game was tight all the way through. That was the worst MSU team of the last two decades and one of the best Ole Miss teams. So crazier things have happened than that. But I think, obviously, if you said right now, give me a line on the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss is probably a 10.5. Point favorite, something like that. I mean, Chambliss and Lacey coming back in those pieces, plus it's on the road. You can't argue with that too much. So, State, here's the fact of the matter is State's gone 7-18 the last 2 years. You're gonna have to earn that respect. You're not gonna just get it. So, Jay and Balters, I'm already looking past football next season. Well, that's not good. That's how this university falls apart. You got to buy into football. You got to support it. You can't look past football. Teams that look past football drop to FCS. Don't be a person that does that. You need to be excited about football. I think they can be okay. I need to look more. I need to do more research. The pieces are there though. The pieces to get this team right. To have the kind of season you want to have, they're there. It's going to be on Levy to pull the right strings. Last year, he didn't pull the right strings. And he was kind of hamstrung by his defensive coordinator. But I don't give him a pass for that because he hired the guy and then watched him have the worst defense in the conference and just said, nope, we need to bring him back for another year. That's on him. That was his decision. So we'll get there. April's a busy month here in this town. We got a spring scrimmage. Super Bulldog weekend will be about a month away. The Starkville Derby coming up. Don't want to miss that. Plenty of good stuff. And, of course, we got baseball this weekend and next weekend. And LSU at the end of the month. Some good times. April's a great month. Come to Starkville. Come see us. And I'll be looking for you. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Appreciate you guys tuning in with me on a Wednesday. Thunder and Lightning podcast tomorrow. Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow. We'll have it all for you. Talk to you then. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.